Thanks for downloading this IMSA Radio podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by visiting IMSAradio.com or search for IMSA Radio wherever they get their podcasts.
The WeatherTech Sports Car Championship on IMSA Radio.
Right, good morning everybody and welcome along. Good to have your company. Good morning everybody and welcome along. Good to have your company wherever you are around the world. And it is just on 11 o'clock. We've got a minute, an hour and 30 on the clock. We are ready to go for our first of the extended coverage of the 60th running of the Rolex 24 at Daytona. John Hainoff, Jeremy Shaw in the Hagerty Broadcast Centre. Let's head straight down to pit lane. Andrew Marriott in a moment, but first let's check in with Shea Adam. Good morning, Shea.
Good morning, John. It is slippery down here as the rain continues to just gently sort of pitter-patter on the pit lane, but that's not deterring a lot of people from going out. And Pippo Durrani, my first victim of the day. Hey, Pippo, weather like this, are you excited to drive a DPI when it's raining not really too hard?
Well, it's always good to drive a DPI. You know, it's the last year of the car, so you gotta use the moment that you have, because very soon from now, you're not, you know, those cars are gone. So for me as a driver, doesn't really matter if it's rainy or not, but I think Daytona has a particular difficult situation, which is the banking. Normally the infield is wet, but the banking is not, and that with the rain tires, you can, you know, blister the rear tire. So you have to be careful with that. It's very easy to just keep driving and, you know, maybe have a tire issue because of that. But yeah, we're going to have to wait and see. You know, starting the race weekend with rain is not ideal, especially if you want to try and get your car better, but always good to drive, and hopefully I can get a few laps either dry or wet today.
He is the reigning champion after all. Good luck with the rest of the weekend. Down, welcome to the pit lane, Andrew Marriott. He's found John Gaw.
Yeah, fantastic to be back here at Daytona despite the rain here. Yeah, John's with me here just at the moment having a chat with Paul Delano. John, fantastic. 4 Aston Martins in this race.
8 Aston Martins this weekend. Okay, you're forgetting about the GS cars.
Okay, well, in the 24 there are 4, which is a great thing for Aston Martin. And still the only front-engine car here, but mega competitive, of course.
Honestly, we only want one car here. We only want one car that's going to win. But that's a big challenge here, of course, like, you know. So it's great to have 4 cars here for sure. Yeah.
New teams like Magnus have switched to you, of course.
Yeah, they've done a really good job. Done a lot of testing, Magnus, here, actually. I mean, you could see that in the practice and the race. They were probably, you know, the most competitive car out of the 4. Yeah, great to have them on board. A great driver lineup in that car. Experienced team as well. Lots of experienced people. So looking forward to see what they can do.
And you signed a new man in David Pittard. That's a new story.
Yeah, look, we kept it under the hat for as long as we could, you know. So there's not many fast silvers about these days with the new regulations, but he's got to be one of the fastest. And yeah, just a really nice guy as well. You know, really nice family. Met his father yesterday and his girlfriend or wife today. Really nice guy, fit really well into the team, I think. And obviously he's done a great job in the past, specifically at Nürburgring. So he's got some new races to come to this year. But I think we saw he settled in quite well at the Roar. So looking forward to see what he does at -5 degrees in the middle of the night race.
Well, you're from Scotland, you're used to this. So down here at Aston Martin, they're very buoyant, and you British fans have all got a British team and British cars to cheer for.
Thank you very much, Andrew. Andrew Marriott and Shea Adam down in the pit lane. Jeremy Shaw alongside me here in the studio as we go green flag. And this is great. 2 years to the day yesterday since I turned all of this kit off, and it fired up sort of, the other day. We've had a bit of fun in games with
how about the driver? Did the driver fire up?
The driver is very fired up.
Yes.
Very fired up indeed. Not the weather that people were hoping for. Certainly not the weather that we expected. We knew it was going to be cool, but the rain is likely to be for all of the sessions today. Talking to the Wind Tiller guys last night at the 24 preview.
Yeah, the weather forecast has been changing constantly all the week. I mean, when I checked the weather forecast last weekend when we were not at the Roar, looking forward to the race, the low for Saturday night, midway through the race, was at 38 degrees. I thought that was going to be pretty chilly. But now the forecast is for a low of 31, which is basically, for Europeans, is zero centigrade. I mean, freezing point. So and even this week, there's chances of rain. It was my weather app this morning was showing a sort of negligible chance of rain through maybe 12 or 1 o'clock even today. But that came early. It started about maybe, I don't know, an hour ago. It's now 11 o'clock local time here. And it's just a sort of a light drizzle, really. It's not really heavy rain, certainly. We had some heavier rain last night. But the track is fully wet, John. And I think there's going to be quite a few teams that have some experience in these sort of conditions that are not going to bother going out in this first practice session of the weekend officially.
Right, that seems reasonable. And
just looking at the schedule for the week then, this is a 90-minute practice session that will go on until 12:35 local time. The WeatherTech Championship cars for the Rolex 24 at Daytona, the 60th annual Rolex 24, will be at 3:20, and that'll be a 1 hour and 45 minute session, and that's the usual kind of restricted one where everybody gets an hour, basically. I guess an hour and a half, isn't it, of running with the non-pro drivers having track time to their own, and the pro drivers having a little bit of time to their own as well. And then tonight we have the traditional night practice session that will go from 7:15 p.m. to 9 o'clock local time, Eastern Standard Time in Florida.
Yeah, a little bit tricky out there for the Ally Cadillac, which at the moment is... We've got a walk over here to the timing screen. No clue who's behind the wheel of it. Don't worry, we'll sort that out later. Going from 27 screens to one timing screen is a bit of a shock here, but we'll make it work. At least we can see out of the window, which is more than the driver of the 48 Ally Cadillac can.
Yeah,
he's very, very nasty out there, even though there's no cars in front of him. He's on the speedway coming through to the bus stop area now. Coming through. How long is that, Dylan? Oh, no, that is the bus stop. Yeah, it is the bus stop. And such a big delay on the pictures that we're seeing in the booth.
It is a very murky day at the moment. I mean, we can barely see across the other side of the airport, which is right next to the racetrack, and that's sort of east from our commentary booth. If we look to our left, more to the northeast, I mean, we can probably see visibility might be a mile at the very, very most. It is murky out there, and track conditions are wet. But we've already had quite a few cars out on the track. I think we have 41 cars have been shown as out on the racetrack at the moment already. We've got a 61 car field for this weekend.
Yeah, very, very exciting. Traffic density is going to be an issue.
Yeah.
Opportunity for the teams to just feel their way through. One or two teams have changed manufacturers and personnel over the winter. And again, as I said, talking to the Konica Minolta drivers last night, Ricky Taylor telling me, we've logged enough miles around here. There's not that much we really need to know. But they've got Will Stevens in the car there, Jeremy, who is the little pocket rocket. He's not been here before, so he has got some mileage to do just to get used to the circuit, to the traffic, to the multi-class racing. He's done. Obviously, he's been to Le Mans. He's been to the 24 Hours of Spa. but this is something a bit different.
Yeah, and some Formula One experience as well. He certainly didn't have a stellar open wheel career, but he certainly had success and did make it to Formula One. Ran 20 races in F1, so you know he's driven all sorts of cars. It's hard to believe actually. He's already 30 years of age, but as you say, first time here at Daytona for Will Stevens. But you know he is of the caliber. He wouldn't be picked to drive for Konica Minolta and Wayne Taylor's team if he wasn't capable, and right away he fitted into this team really, really well, and he's certainly excited and looking forward to his prospects for this race. That team, of course, massive amount of success here at Daytona and going for something that's never been done before. They've won the race the last 3 years in a row, 19, 20 and 21, also won it in 17, so that's 4 out of 5. Chip Ganassi Racing won this race in consecutive years in 6, 7 and 8. No one has won this race 4 times in a row, John. So a lot of pressure on those guys. I had a chat with Ray Taylor this morning, and he's his normal self. You know, he's
brilliant.
Yeah, but you know, he's always bouncing off the revelator about something or other. And I said, no pressure this weekend. And I said the same to Philip Albuquerque as well. No pressure this weekend, is there, Philip? And of course, yeah, Wayne's not too worried about success this weekend. And he said, yeah, right, yeah.
I'll tell you a story about that in a moment that Philippe told us last night. Let's head back down to the pit lane where Shere Adam is down in M Town this weekend. 50-year anniversary of BMW M. New BMW M3. No, I knew I was going to get that the wrong way around. M4 GT3 in the IMSA WeatherTech Sportscar Championship. And Bill Oberlin is one of the pilots.
Bill, how much are you enjoying driving this new car?
I loved it right up until the final BOP came out, and I'm disappointed. I mean, here comes the whine-o-meter starts going, but this car is so good. It's so fun to drive. Everybody loves it. I think, I don't know if the series was afraid of it or because of all the hype or whatever happened, but between us and Corvette, to not really put us into this race is going to make it for one very long 24-hour race. I'm not sure it's fun for the fans. You know, we have BMW fans, Corvette fans that are just going to watch us circulate. I wish they would have done a slightly better job, but we'll do our best.
Does this race then become effectively a test session going forward? Because you and Robbie Foley, still the 96 Turner Motorsport BMW, still going for the championship.
That's exactly what we're doing, right? The guys are learning. This is a brand new car to us. The guys are learning. The team is learning. We're getting all the procedures in place for what we're going to do for the year. But it's turned out to, let's just collect all the points we can get out of here, hope they see the data they want to see, and then they can make a revision going into Sebring. But just kind of weird that they would do that. You know, I mean, they have a lot of data from the Roar race that we did between all three BMWs. They had everything they needed. They made their choice. I'm not sure why. But off we go. We got a new car. The car has been, knock on wood, I'm hitting my head here, flawless. It's run perfect. All three cars. So this car came effectively out of the box very good. BMW in the background in Munich and in Germany, Europe, they've been doing a lot of testing with it. So it was pretty refined. You know, when we were here in December, we did a few software updates. The engineers were working full speed to do different little updates and this and that. We got them all, and now we're just running the car.
Well, hey, good luck. Try and enjoy it this weekend.
I will always enjoy it. It's Daytona. This is our crown jewel of IMSA racing. This is the one you always want to win, and we'll give it our best.
Well, one of Bill's biggest competitors this weekend will be Catherine Legg, and she is with Andrew Marriott.
Yeah, and she's also with her dad, Derek, down here. Catherine, haven't seen you for a couple of years or so. You really settled in with this hardport team now.
Yeah, it's good. I missed 2020 because of COVID and then broken legs and all sorts of stuff, but back last year, and I feel like it was the first year for the team, and they were finding their feet. I was literally finding mine again. And now I feel like we've come back much stronger and ready to go fight for it.
Tell me about that accident, because it was a really big shunt you had there, wasn't it? I mean, you had that huge accident years ago, didn't you, in Atlantic, I think it was. Or was it an IndyCar?
Champ car. Champ car back in the day at Road
That was
America.
A mega accident, but this was a big one too.
Yeah, so the Champ car one, the rear wing delaminated and came apart. And this one, we really still don't know what happened. But it was in France, and it was in July of 2020, just when everything was ramping back up with having COVID having stopped everything. and unfortunately I broke my left leg and my right ankle, my left foot. I broke a whole bunch of stuff, and it took me a while to get back. I was hoping to do Le Mans that year because it had been pushed till October, but I just wasn't ready for it. But now I'm back, I'm fighting fit, and looking for the elusive podium for Team Hardpoint.
Now, for me, you're the most professional of women racing drivers. But what's your take on Formula W?
The W Series, I think I'm so torn with the W Series because while it puts women's bums in seats, let's say, I still don't think that we should be segregated. You know, I fought my entire career to be taken seriously as a racing driver, regardless of sex, nationality, anything else. And so I don't like the fact that they're still going to have to go out in the big, bad, wide world and fight against the best of the best. So why not support those women in the actual racing world and give them, you know, what we've always lacked is good teams and good support and people believing in us. So if we could put them in the best teams in the world, then maybe we'd find one or two that were really good.
Absolutely. My sentiment entirely. Great to see Catherine here. Have a good race, Catherine.
Thanks very much.
Yeah, you'll get no truck from either Jeremy or I about that. And we've had Christina Nielsen as a multiple champion here. Let's not forget as well.
Yeah, and Taylor Hagler last year becoming the first lady to win a Michelin Pilot Challenge Series championship as well.
Yeah, absolutely right. You were going to make a comment, I think, on what?
Mr. Oberlin.
Yeah, on Bill Oberlin earlier on.
Look, Mr. BMW, I get the politics, Bill, but I don't want to hear the whining. I mean, goodness sake, he knows, and everybody in the paddock knows how hard IMSA works. On the BOP, on the balanced performance. When the BMW came here, they did a test here with this car in December. That was before any balanced performance criteria were laid down for this 2022 season. So they did a test here on what they thought or hoped, I think might be a better
yes,
term for that.
Point.
And
good
then when
point.
The when the proper balanced performance was introduced, having with the information that they had, then it wasn't to their satisfaction. And then they cruised around last weekend and struggled. It certainly wasn't easy. But Bill's been around this sport a long, long time. He's been in the BMW, the previous iteration of GT3 BMW, when it was very much the class of the field. And he won races during that. He also won races when it was on the same equivalency with everybody else. He knows how this works. I really don't want to hear that. But look, the BOP, the technical team at IMSA, led by Matt Curdock, and a very accomplished team of engineers, they have worked super hard. So to not give them credit for that, I think is not fair at this stage. Look, and also, this is a unique racetrack at Daytona as well. So they have made some changes since the original balanced performance was introduced on that car. They've allowed the car to lay down the rear wing a little bit more to give it a bit more straight line speed, although it was already running at 0 degrees, so it's actually negative now. But the BMW engineers, they do all the simulations on this stuff real time. They are right now, as the cars are on racetrack, the BMW engineers in Germany are going through all this data. They know exactly where they are with this thing. And to expect to come out here and be the pace setters right away is unrealistic.
And they haven't had full reliability with that car yet either, in fairness. They give it a good shakedown, literally as well as metaphorically, in Sebring at the end of last year. Still a bit of work to go in their anniversary year. It's IMSA Radio RS2 live around the circuit and around the world as well at imsaradio.com. That's where you need to be this weekend when we get our live video pictures. That's where it'll be. And it's at IMSA Radio if you want to get in touch with us. Hello to at Blur Fiend, who's here, not working on his Porsches this weekend, on the infield, got the motorhome there, and down at the International Horseshoe. Which flag are you standing under, Blur? Because I've got the binos out. Can't see anybody waving at me at the moment. Andrew Marriott, we might be able to catch a quick word with Pat or Ward before he jumps into the car. Or has he already disappeared, Andrew? No, I think he's already disappeared.
It's easier you had last year in IndyCar. I mean, you really showed the old boys what to do.
Yeah, man. I mean, we had a great year, and we're ready to give it another go this year. I think we're definitely keep improving every single year, every single race. So we'll see what we can pull off.
Meanwhile, this race is special to you because when you were just a kid, I remember interviewing you here, and I think you were in an LMPC car, weren't you?
Yeah, I got to drive here in an LMPC car first time, and we came out winning the thing, and we started off the year with a fresh Rolex. So I think that's always the goal whenever you come to the Rolex 24, and just really looking forward to the experience. I'm teammates with my fellow competitors in IndyCar, so I think that's a different dynamic. I think it's very helpful for all of us just to keep pushing each other and truly create a package that's going to suit everybody and just have a good race.
Now then, Pato, you've driven a Formula One car recently in Abu Dhabi. Tell us all about that, because you were so excited.
Man, it was phenomenal. The car just does everything you wish and you want from any race car, and everything just works. It works so well, and I was mind blown by the grip and how the car just it feels like it has unlimited amounts of grip. It's phenomenal, and it's crazy. You can tell those cars are truly created to go as fast as humanly possible within regulations, but I mean, there's hundreds of people that are working to make two cars to go as fast as possible around the circuit.
Now, obviously you got yourself established in IndyCar, but would Formula One be a goal for you? Would you consider it? We've got great history of Mexicans in Formula One.
I mean, for sure, if the opportunity comes available, I will for sure take it, because it's something that you grew up wanting as a kid, and it's something that you wish to do, and that's how my dream started for racing. So definitely going to give it a go if the opportunity is there.
Excellent. Great to see you down here. And one of your teammates, Devlin, is down here. Devlin Francesco, another new IndyCar star, eh?
Yeah, no, we're looking forward to it. A big season for me for many different reasons, but what a way to start here in Daytona.
Yeah, and you're another guy, just like Pato, that we first sort of came to know you in Europe for racing here in the 24. We got to know you racing here in the 24 a few years ago. That's when I first interviewed you.
Yes, no, it's been a while. Really nice to be back with such a great team in Dragon Speed, and we have a great driver lineup, with myself, Pato, and Colton, and Eric as well, who's doing a fantastic job. So, just getting through some gremlins now, and I think we're going to have a shot come Sunday.
Now, you had a season in Europe, it didn't work out so well, but I guess you learned from it.
Yes, very much so. I had a great team around me there, and planned to do Formula 3 again with Trident, and the season test went quite okay. But, I had an offer from Andretti to come back with a long-term plan of ending up in IndyCar, and now that dream is a reality.
Great to talk to you. So two IndyCar up-and-coming stars there down here at Elton Julian's team, of course, at Dragon Speed. I'm sure they're going to have a good race.
He's a good talent spotter, is Elton Julian. Puts a good team together at Dragon Speed. They were thinking about putting an LMP1, a grandfathered LMP1, into the WEC in Le Mans this year. That's not now going to happen. We've got about an hour and 10 minutes to go. Venus Fekir, the fastest in this early part of the session. It's a limited running to start with. Just the LMP2s of the prototypes that's running. And that's not true, actually. We've got some DPIs out there as well. But it is the P2s that are quickest. So, Venus Fekir for Orica. They're all Oricas in LMP2 this weekend. And ahead of the game at the moment, Jeremy.
Yeah, and I'm not sure there's any DPI cars out on the track at the moment. I lied. There goes Philip Albuquerque. Just jumped up into third position overall. 1 minute 52.0 for Albuquerque in that car number 10. So about a half a second behind Rinus VK's time. Number 29... racing team Netherlands Orica LMP2 car. I think it was Guido van der Garde who set that time in the car. But Rinus VK, another IndyCar rising star, is at the wheel of the number 29 machine at the moment. Also in DPI, the number 48 Ally Cadillac Kamut Kobayashi at the wheel, another two-time winner, of course, here of this race. He has just gone out of the pits in a number 48 Cadillac. In the other classes, fastest GTD car is Lucas Stoltz in the number 75 Sun Energy 1 Mercedes AMG GT3. He is quickest of all of the GTD cars. The fastest GTD Pro is also a Mercedes. That's Mauro Engel, one of the factory drivers, at the wheel of number 97 WeatherTech Racing Proton Proton America run cars. He is second fastest overall of the GTD entrants.
So at the weekend, the whole race live on at Sirius XM, and I think we said that that was channel 202. Thank you. Personal foul on 202. So if you're here at the track or further afield, you can tune in on that. Across the world on imsaradio.com. It's getting wetter, I think. It's that horrible sort of persistent, insistent rain that just, without really being big, ploppy raindrops, just gets everywhere. It's almost just like a fine mist at the moment. But there is a little bit of spray being thrown up by the Corvette as it goes underneath us now. Hour and 7 minutes still to go. And the traffic always going to be an issue around here. Consideration for our camera operators, by the way. Not just for this session, but for the whole weekend, particularly those working overnight. It's going to be very, very cold indeed. And if the weather's like this, it's going to be absolutely miserable being outdoors. So if you're watching on NBC or Peacock or USA Network, which is where you'll find it here in the USA, spare a thought for our camera operators. If you're on IMSA TV via imsaradio.com or wherever you're watching around the world, Sky Sports New Zealand taking us this year as well with the IMSA Radio commentary. Well, as I say, spare a thought for those ladies and gentlemen, as well as our volunteer marshals and corner workers, the cleanup crews, etc., all of whom are essential to the operation of the race meeting. Great to hear the cars from just underneath our feet. We really do have the best view of pretty much any racetrack in the world. It's here in Dubai, I think, that vie for the best view and also for the most hours of darkness. It was 13 hours and 17 minutes at Dubai. It'll be 13 hours and 14 minutes here Saturday night, sunset to sunrise on Sunday. Let's take a little more of what's going on down in the pit lane. It's Andrew Marriott and Adam Shea now with Mauro Engel.
Mauro, fresh out of the WeatherTech Racing Mercedes. What are track conditions like?
Yeah, it's slippery out there. Obviously, the race weekend or the race looks dry. So, nonetheless, I have to take the car in the wet just in case it changes. Weather can change pretty quick here in Florida. But it's very slippery. Even though there's not a lot of water, it's pretty greasy out there.
We always ask drivers who are driving multiple cars in a race what it's like from their perspective, but you're a teammate to somebody who's doing that. Do you like getting to share one or having to share one?
Yeah, I mean, hats off to Cooper. You know, I mean, I think it's tough in this race with this field to race on two different cars in the same category. It's definitely a big challenge, but so far he's really been great, and I've been on the pace straight away.
Is there any useful information sharing between the Porsche and the Mercedes, or are they two different platforms?
No, I think they're quite, you know, quite different platforms, and there's not much much you can look at from both sides to compare. I think you just try and, from our end, try and make the Mercedes package as good as it can be, and hopefully be there in the race.
Thanks for chatting to us straight out of the car, and good luck in the 97.
Brilliant stuff, Shea. Thank you. Said I was going to give you a Philippe Albuquerque story. He's just gone to the top of the times with a 150.781. I'll get my binoculars to read that, actually. It'd be easier. He was talking last night about, you know, we were talking about the added pressure of trying to go Jeremy for four in a row here at the Rolex 24 Hours for Wayne Taylor Racing. And he said, look, you know, we come here, we try to make every race like another race. But you talk to Wayne, and Wayne says, well, it's four in a row. You know, last year, it's three. So you've talked about last year, it's three. We've got to win the third. So, you know, right, fine. So then you go to Mid-Ohio. So you go to Mid-Ohio, got to win this one, guys. This loads of people from Acura here. This is, you know, it's the closest track to the plant. And so we've got to win this one, guys. Go to Long Beach, guys. Says, we've got to win this one. This is where head office is. And Felipe says, I didn't know that Acura had so many home tracks. But that's Wayne Taylor. He's a competitor, top to bottom, front to back, inside and out, isn't he?
Yeah, he certainly is. He is intensely competitive, is Wayne. And super successful, of course, himself. He was pointing out to me this morning that the six Grand Marshals for this event this weekend, and a very accomplished list as Mario Andretti, Jack Roush, gosh, who are the other ones? Yikes. I'll come back to those in a little while. I've got it written down somewhere. And I've
Maxi Guts just had a little not one of them. Spin in the number 28 AMG Mercedes. That's the red, white and black Navisec sponsored car. I think he was on his own. The Faf Porsche was quite close to him in the International Horseshoe, right in front of Blurfeet. But that car is now moving again. And down in the pit lane, Andrew Marriott has more. Andrew?
Yeah, well, I'm looking at the back of the long flaxen-haired Dane. Of course, it's Nicky Team. Nicky just in a bit of discussion now with John Gore. And if I can just go make eye contact here. Nicky, can I grab you? Nicky, just been out on track.
Yes, been good.
Conditions must be horrible.
Yeah, but first of all, you didn't expect it to rain in Florida, but here we are. in February, so yeah. But it's fun. Just officially starting the week now, the 24 hours Rolex, so it's good to keep going. It's been some long days now, but now we're here and hope for some dry running later on, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, the Aston looks really competitive, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's obviously Aston, so it is competitive. But yeah, not so much to say right now. It's obviously everyone is probably hoping for some dry running because the race looks sunny and dry. And
But cold?
Yeah, cold. But
I reckon Saturday night it's going to be sort of minus one.
Yeah, but I'm going to be feet up in the camber all night and then big push on a Sunday, hopefully. But you'll see. It's great to see so many fans out here already. Again, you don't expect it to rain in Florida, but it's still great, all those petrol heads around this area. So yeah, just gonna suck it in and enjoy it basically, and get on with the work.
Absolutely, thanks very much, Nicky, for your time. So Nicky Pym, a real Viking, looks like a Viking warrior.
That's because he is, Andrew. There's no doubt about it. No doubt about that, and as competitive as he ever was. As well, coming down to the hour, Jeremy, Grand Marshals, great honour and some great names in the list this year.
Yeah, there's six of them with Grand Marshals this year. Mario Andretti, Hurley Haywood, Scott Pruitt, Jack Roush, Bobby Rahal and Wayne Taylor. It's a pretty accomplished list, isn't it? And chattering to Wayne this morning, he was telling me, you know, there's quite a few others, those guys on the list have got five wins to their credit. He's got six. He's got four as a team owner and two as a driver himself. So he's very proud of that, and he wants to make it an extra one this weekend.
I'm very surprised that one of them hasn't said, look, there should really only be one Grand Marshal. Let's get some cars out on the track and race off for the Grand Marshal. I'd pay to see that. Yeah. I would pay to see that. That's, you know, that's like the old IROC thing, isn't it? If we got all the same cars out on track, plug those six in, five lap sprint, on you go, lads.
Some of them in particular would be up for that. Others not so much.
I still think it'd be funny.
It would be brilliant.
You know, Mario would be up for that.
Absolutely.
He'd be the man. He'd be the man who would be absolutely. Yeah, but he'd want to do qualifying first so that he could get on pole position. Absolutely agree. Spot on the hour to go. Just that Philippe Albuquerque time for the Acura, the number 10 Conningham and Alta car, that has put him ahead of a raft of LMP2 cars. Decent entry in LMP2 and LMP3. If you haven't been keeping up with us, our programme, Shea did a couple of great programmes from the Raw with interviews with the WeatherTech Sports Car Championship drivers, and we did a Michelin Pilot preview as well. If you go to imsaradio.com, that's where you're probably listening to us at the moment, then you certainly be able to either download those or listen on demand and just catch up. But not at the moment, because there's still some action to go today. We'll take all of the action from the WeatherTech Sports Car Championship. We've got qualifying in a race for the Idemitsu Mazda MX-5s in the wet, on the oval, as well as the infield. Excellent. And we've got Michelin Pilot as well. Let's go down to Nicholas Nielsen, who's with Andrew, Ferrari team, AF Corsa.
Full factory driver, so Dane Nicholas Nielsen. I've just spoken to one Dane. Maybe I'd like to speak. Still got his crash helmet on, but I'll just give him a second to get the crash helmet off. So he's just got out of the car now, so he's going to be able to tell us. Well, I just spoke to one Dane and Nicky Tim, so I thought I'd come and speak to a second one, Nicholas. How's the track conditions at the moment for the AF Corsa Ferrari?
Yeah, it's very greasy out there, but I think it's the same for everyone. You know, the car feels pretty good. But yeah, definitely tricky conditions. But on the other hand, I mean, it's good to get some laps in, and I mean, we're not here to prove anything at the moment. So it's just about getting some laps. Obviously,
whoops, he's just dropped his earplugs.
Getting familiar with everything, but yeah, everything feels really good.
I mean, for you, AF Corsa, as a Ferrari factory driver, you're more or less the new boy, aren't you? But you've really settled in with a lot of success, of course. You have a lot of success with Ferrari now.
Yeah, I'm really proud to be a part of the Ferrari family and AF Corsa, obviously. And it's been three very good years for me with them, and I'm really enjoying myself and being in their company. And obviously, I mean, everyone will smile when they drive a Ferrari, or so am I.
But what about the Daytona track? Because I mean, were you here last year? I can't remember.
Yeah, I was. This is my second time now.
Yeah. I mean, it's different, isn't it, with the banking? What do you feel about that?
Yeah, it's obviously very different compared to the European tracks, but it's a race that I really enjoy coming to. And I mean, last year was an amazing experience for me, and so is it going to be this year. I'm very happy to be back, and can't wait to get the race started.
Nicholas, in 2 years' time, Ferrari are going to be fighting for overall victory at Le Mans. Do you hope to be in one of those cars?
Of course. We'll see what happens. But of course, I hope to be a part of it.
Thank you very much, Nicholas Nielsen. Great young new driver from Denmark.
It's just a bit more LMDH news, actually. The IMSA DPI 2.0, IMSA's version of the top class of global sports car racing. Porsche, who ruled out their LMDH. Haven't got a name for that yet. 920, 921? I don't know. I don't know what that project numbers are now. Ruled it out of Vysak a week or so ago, a little bit more than that now. And we've seen a few details now. They're just drip-feeding it, just controlling the message, very typically Porsche. And it's going to be a V8 engine in that, which I think will surprise nobody at all. What was interesting to me is they're insisting that it's not a purpose-built race engine. It is something that they already have within the group or within Porsche. There are a couple of very tasty 4-litre engines that they could put their hands on from Volkswagen AG. The Bentley-designed V8, of course, the 4-litre. It's also in the RS7 and one or two other cars. There's one or two other things as well, which we'll let them break that story about which one it is. I've got a hankering for something a little bit different, but we'll find out in due course. But excitement at least that car is now mobile.
Yeah, not in specification for next year yet, because the hybrid system has not yet been finalized.
Correct.
Or delivered to any of the manufacturers, so they're just getting sort of preliminary data, I guess, for aerodynamic purposes. But I mean, you can't figure out anything final at this stage, so a long way to go before they get those cars in any sort of representative configuration. But I was talking to Wayne Taylor, actually, from about the Acura for next season. That car should be hitting the track for the first time in June. They're going to be doing some shaker rig efforts with that car in April. The car should be on the first track middle of June, and then they've got an extensive test program in this country, all of it, to prepare for next season.
Up in London, our producer Tim Gray reminds us there's a secret Volkswagen F1 engine, of course. That's not a large capacity V8. However, two of them together on a common crank. just thinking. Also, that isn't a road car engine so far, as far as I'm aware. Let's get back to matters here at hand. Just on 54 minutes to go, and Shea Adam is with Zach Robichon in the pit lane here at Daytona.
Zach, is this Porsche weather?
I mean, it's always Porsche weather, let's be honest. But definitely in this kind of in-between, the car is very predictable, which is all we can ask for. You know, today, this morning, obviously, getting ready for the race on Saturday, we're just going through the systems check, practicing some driver changes, getting everybody comfortable in any weather condition, because who knows what the weather will do on the weekend.
Now, you won the championship last year with Pfaff. This year, you're with Wright in the number 16 car. Different color cars completely. Have you ever been tempted to stop in the Pfaff box?
No, but I go over there to steal some food. So far, I've been okay trying to get into the pits. But definitely, it was an adjustment for the team. It's been so welcoming. It's been easy to get acclimatized here.
Good luck for this weekend, and good luck getting your first watch.
Thank you.
Zach Robichon down there with Shea Adam in the pit lane. And Shea's wearing a very fetching and easy to spot from the lookout that we're Jeremy and I are in here, the Hagerty Global broadcast booth. No umbrella hat for Shea. I'm very disappointed. I can see that she's heading down towards Corvette. It's not been the easiest of transitions from Corvette, from Le Mans GT to Daytona GT, and they still have work to do, quite clearly. And there was, as Jeremy was mentioning here, BOP change for them, not the way they would have wanted. Very slippery,
yeah,
on board with which car is that at the moment? That is one of the Corvettes, isn't it? Not used to that noise from the Corvette with the mid-mount V8. I think that's Nicky Katzberg, who's out on the track at the moment in the number 3 car. Yes, because the number 4 is in the pit lane. And the wheel spin on acceleration. He's down at the bus stop now. A bit of a change in the track here at the bus stop on the exit curve. Final part, which you just heard the engine note rise there behind my voice from Nicky as he caught the penultimate curb up onto the high banks. Yeah, as I said, they've not had a great run. Spoke to the guys from Inception. They've got the McLaren 720. Nice to see Sean Goff. He was arriving last night. He just let the guys sort themselves out last weekend. So he was getting ready to come to the track this morning. And that Inception, that's the black and red stripes on the number 8 car that is out there at the moment for Inception Racing. We're taking these early sessions, particularly as they're wet, that the times are not going to be really important. It's number 70 Inception car, excuse me. I was looking at the illuminated number panel on the side.
Yes.
We are taking these sessions very much as free practice as well, because we have already set the grid. So we're going to speak to as many drivers as we can. Andrew is in the pit lane, working his way through his half of pit lane at the moment, and he's caught up with Lucas Stoltz.
Yeah, I'm in the Sun Energy Mercedes-Benz pits here. You know this car, John, is orange and blue. Lucas,
yes.
Stoltz is with me here. Take your cap off. Well, we haven't got a camera. His hair is bright orange. What is the story going on here, Luca?
Well, last year we went for blue because the car was blue and we all liked it. And so this time we went orange because the car's orange. And yeah, last year we had some success and we hope we can be on the podium again. And I hope the color brings us some luck.
I hope it washes out quickly.
Yeah, I think when I go back home I have to shave off.
Now, 2 24-hour races in the period of 2 weeks. Come from Dubai, had a great result there. So that's hard work.
Yeah, Dubai was a good warm-up for here. But yeah, it's always difficult here. The weather looks a bit strange for Florida, but we take the challenge.
This is basically, it's still Sun Energy and Kenny, of course, but it's a different car, different team, is it?
It's the same team we ran last year.
Yeah.
and more or less the same guys, except...
I meant compared with Dubai.
Yeah, compared with Dubai, it's different. Dubai, I was with HRT, and now it's with Kenny and Kenny's team. And some guys from AMG help us as well.
Very good. What's your hopes for this race? So it's wet at the moment, but you've got to be right there in the middle of all this action.
Well, it's always difficult to predict, but I think you have to have a clean race and stay there until the last 4 hours, and then I think you can always win this race. That's what IMSA stands for. It's always, you're always in the game when you don't have accidents or contacts, so it will be an intense race for sure.
Yeah, well, I think you're fastest thus far, aren't you, in your category?
Yeah, at the moment we have P1, but it's wet, and I think everybody is trying a little bit, but our car was really great in the wet. I had a good feeling straight out of the pit, so yeah, we're quite happy.
Very good, thanks for talking to you, and wash that orange out. Let's go to Tom Milner, I think, is down there with Shay.
Tommy, some things don't change. Back with Corvette Racing, back with the gray car instead of the yellow one. Not a full season effort, but Daytona, it hasn't been going so easy for you guys this week, has it?
Sure. I mean, it's been challenging in the sense that we'd like to see our Corvettes a little bit faster. But, you know, still for us, while that's obviously a bit of a talking point for us on the Engineer Lounge, it's certainly not our focus. Just trying to learn about these cars, these tires. The cars haven't changed dramatically, obviously, from a mechanical point of view. There's definitely some changes to kind of fit into GTD here. But, yeah, for us as drivers and engineers, just trying to maximize the tires, the brakes, things like that, the things that we can control, we're working on that. Obviously, it doesn't look like it's going to be wet for the race, but still, this is all valuable information for if we have to at some point this weekend, hopefully not drive in the rain. It's looking already pretty cold as it is. It'd be pretty miserable if it was as cold as it's going to say it is and wet as well. So, yeah, we're just learning as much as we can.
Is the car any stronger in the colder conditions?
I have no idea. That's a good question. Again, you know, we've done some testing at the end of the year last year, but not at Daytona ever. It's the first time for in this package here at Daytona. So this is all new for us in a lot of ways as well. So we obviously have some data with these customer tire, Michelin tires, and just adding to as much information as we possibly can. I think for most teams right now is kind of the same deal here, right? I don't think it's going to be wet for the race. It will certainly be cold, it looks like. So for us, just learning as much as we possibly can. For us, you know, while we have two cars here, we might as well use it up.
Well, hey, good luck.
Thank you.
Just a couple of little spins whilst we were in that interview. The 47 Cetelar Ferrari just makes contact with the wall coming out of the bus stop, but that was Roberto Lacorte, the man behind Cetelar Racing. Very pretty mid-blue Ferrari with the Italian tricolore. And also Jens Klingman had a spin as well, but didn't have any contact with anything. It was the penultimate curb that Nicky Katzberg was flirting with on the bus stop. So not the exit curb, but the one on the right before that. And we could hear Nicky spinning up his rear wheels. Roberto with one of the G-Drive Algarve Pro Racing cars in close attendance. But there was no contact between those two, but a very slight ding on the outside safer barrier with the right rear corner. And it's just bent the wing end plate in a little bit. And there was a tiny little bit there, Jeremy, of a shock wave going through the rear wheel. Hopefully that is nothing worse. Era Motorsport with a problem down in the pit lane, being pushed back to their pit box. And Shea just telling me they missed the box. They're in between a couple of GTD cars, Pfaff Motorsport being right behind them. And it's very, very tight in the pit lane with 61 cars, as you can imagine, Jeremy. The dolly's going on that car.
Yeah, very, so, very tight down there. I mean, this is
20 feet, is it?
Yeah, 20
like
feet,
that?
As Shea was saying, which is smaller pit boxes, even though we have it at Long Beach, which is generally the shortest pit boxes on the calendar. That's one of the sort of drawbacks of having so many cars. And, you know, certainly at some stage during the race, that could be a problem. Yeah, right now, we've had a total of 48 cars in take part in this session out of the 61 that are entered. So quite a few cars not even going out at all in this session. We've had only four of the DPI cars out on the track. Number 10, which remains fastest overall, Philip Albuquerque, 1:50.781. We've also had the number 01, number 31, and the number 48. And the 01 was the most recent car, I think, to go out on track. That was Sebastian Bourdais. So just four of the seven DPI cars out on track in this session. Just going back to what Tommy Milner was saying, great comments, Tommy. That is how you address this situation. That was classy. He's not bleating and moaning. He's just getting on with the job. Okay, yeah, sure. He, unlike Bill Obbin, isn't going to be doing the full season, admittedly, because his primary focus this year is going to be the World Endurance Championship with that number four Corvette team, he and Nick Tandy, and Marco Sorensen, who's joining them this weekend. But still, you know, they know we haven't yet seen the full capabilities of the Corvette, and probably not the BMW at this stage in the game either. In fact, in this session, in GTD Pro, the Corvette currently is fourth fastest for Nick Tandy in car number four, at 2:00. So that's just over a second off the fastest time that was set by Lucas Stoltz, from whom we heard with Andrew Marich just a few moments ago. The second of the Corvettes with Nicky Katzberg aboard has just gone up to fifth position in the class with a 2:01. So, you know, they're not far off the pace in these sort of conditions right now, and I wouldn't expect them to be off the pace in the race either. I don't think we've seen yet the full capabilities of those Corvettes. Just a couple of changes over the last few minutes. I think Lawrence Vanthoor, yes, in the number two CMG Porsche, that's just jumped up to third fastest in GTD, second in Pro. The non-Pro category, it's still Lucas Stoltz who leads the way in that Sun Energy 1, car number 75. The Pro car for WeatherTech Racing, car number 97, second. Now the Porsche in third position, that's number 2, Lawrence Vanthoor. Another Mercedes in fourth, that's number 28, Allegra machine. Again, a non-Pro car driven at the moment by Daniel Morad. And it was Maxi Goetz who set the fastest time in that Allegra car number 28.
Jeremy Shaw with me, John Hindhoff, in the Hagerty broadcast booth overlooking the start-finish line. It's good to have your company here at Daytona. It was already getting busy yesterday and still people coming in today as well, as you might imagine. Hard to tell what the crowd's going to be at the weekend. I expect there'll be some people who are making decisions about their attendance on the weather.
Yeah, depending and figuring out how much clothing they're going to bring as well. Talking of which, I was talking this morning with Matt Howson, who is the team manager for KCMG. That team is based close to the Nürburgring, and this is their first kind of overseas race. I mean, it's a very multinational team. The team owner, Paul Ip, comes from Hong Kong. Matt Howson, the team manager, who's a former driver with that team and a former winner of Le Mans in LMP2 with that team some years ago. He's based in London. But the one thing he didn't organise coming here for this weekend was how cool, or he didn't expect it to be nearly as cold. And so he was sending out people yesterday, an expeditionary team, to find proper Nürburgring-style clothing for that team to wear this weekend. So you can't plan for everything. People did not plan for it to be this cool this week.
Absolutely.
It's a cool story, that, though, I think. I love it.
Yeah, very good. 40 minutes to go, Jeremy. Good news is that the cars have been going out and going round.
Yeah, but a few more cars on the track.
I was about to say,
another couple of DPI cars just have gone out in the last couple of laps. Not yet, I think, moving their way forward on the timing charts. But Earl Bamba has gone out and done a few laps in the 02, the second this year, the two Cadillac entered DPI cars. And also Tom Blomqvist is at the wheel of the Meyer Shank Racing Acura car number 60. He's just getting that car up to speed, just completed his third lap with, what, 40 minutes remaining in this first official practice session of the race week.
Now, just picking up on a couple of things. At IMSA Radio, by the way, if you want to get in touch with us, whether you're here at the track or further afield, just picking up on a couple of questions. We have had the when is qualifying and will it be dry? It was last week, and yeah, it was fine. We had a qualifying session for a... I don't like saying qualifying race because it's either qualifying or a race. We had a race that set the grid positions. Work out what that should be called yourself. That's happened. So if you go to IMSA.com, you'll be able to find all of the grid positions. So what we're doing now is honing. I suspect what we're doing now is honing the race. The race setups for these cars. I suspect that. I don't know. But I tell you what, let's find out. Joe Bradley's joining us in the pit lane. Welcome to IMSA Radio for 2022, Joe. He's in a little bit of Yorkshire, not just with the weather, but with United Autosport. Richard Dean, the man at the head of that organisation. Let's find out what their plan is for the free practice sessions this week, Joe.
Considering the weather, there's a distinct lack of Yorkshire tea around here, which is the only reason I'm here. Richard, I was thinking, you know, with considering the weather here, it's not the first time we've had a wet Daytona, but the forecast for the weekend is pretty good. So what, frankly, what's the point of this session then?
That's a great question.
Are you asking that yourself, have you?
I think we're just making ourselves feel at home. It's the weather feels very much like back in Yorkshire in England at the moment. So, you know, we had a few things we wanted to run on the car just to try... that they've changed since the raw test. So it was really just a shakedown for us, a handful of laps, but you're absolutely right, the forecast looks pretty clear at the weekend. Cold but dry, so I can't imagine we're going to do much more. We've done what we needed to do today.
I've heard that it's the coldest forecast for about 4 years. We're not unfamiliar with the cold here. Does it make a massive difference with how you work the tyres when it's going to drop to be beyond zero? So beyond freezing, is that going to be a massive difference?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're one of the drivers and you're going out on fresh tyres, and especially over here, you know, we're very much used to tyre warmers, tyre ovens, tyre heaters in Europe and in WEC. So for our European drivers, not just in our car, it's obviously going to be a bit different. You've got to be pretty careful.
That's an interesting point. So the tyres that are going on the car have not been preheated. They are going to be stone cold.
Yeah, I mean, whatever the temperature is, you can pretty much guarantee the tyres are pretty similar and new. So, you know, with that glossy new shine and the cold, you know, we've got to be grateful that the forecast isn't rain as well. So.
Give us a rundown of who the drivers are for you in United Autosports this year, Richard.
Well, so Jim McGuire, obviously, you know, most people know, there's a mandatory bronze in LMP2. Jim's our mandatory bronze. He's been racing with us. This will be 6 years, been doing LMP3 with us in Europe, in European Le Mans, and done exceptionally well. And we're now undertaking a full IMSA endurance series with Jim. We got Phil Hansen, who anybody who's followed sports cars in WEC and ELMS will know. He's won Le Mans, he's won World Endurance Championship, he's won the European Le Mans. We've got Guy Smith, who again, for yours and my era, we know very well, and Le Mans.
He's done another Frank Sinatra, hasn't he? He's come out of retirement again.
Yeah. And singing just as well as he was back in the day, you know, so doing exceptionally well. He's been very, very fast for us. And then Will Owen, who again has raced for us in ELMS, who will be competing with us in WEC this year. This is his first race back for coming up to 2 years.
Really? LMP2, obviously, you know, you guys haven't come here to come second, but what is the chance of an overall win here? Is there any chance at all?
I would say unlikely. Sorry to spoil the story, but I would say highly.
About the weather, though, will the weather not affect that?
I don't think so. The performance and difference is big enough, and it's not like the DPI cars are not, you know, they're not new, are they? You know, they're well developed and the reliability's there. So I can't see an issue in reliability, and performance is superior. So, yeah.
Thanks, Tony. I'll catch you tonight as well. Thanks, Richard. As ever, insightful there. And United Autosports in with a chance as ever.
Might be worthwhile asking Richard the next time you speak to him on one of the other LMP2 teams who run in Europe, Joe, what the difference is between the spec between the P2 cars here, which are slowed down even more than they have been in Europe, and they're getting slowed down again in Europe, in fairness, this year, so that the hypercars can still win the race at Le Mans particularly. Interesting to know what's, you know, subtle or not subtle differences the differences are over here in IMSA. Earl Bamber has climbed aboard the 02 Cadillac. This is the sort of dark red and black front on that car, run by Chip Ganassi Racing. 150.480, and he's on for another quick lap at the moment, setting fastest times. That's a really good pickup for that team, Jeremy. Earl Bamber, long-time Porsche man, still running Earl Bamber Motorsport, of course, with Porsche. And he, as we just have another little spinner down at the international hairpin, the bright orange and yellow LMP2. And that was at the west end of the track. I think that was the number 81. Anyway, good pickup by Chip Ganassi, getting hold of Earl Bamber. I'm sure he'll do them very well indeed. Just a little loss of the car on the braking for the second best of the P2s at the moment. So that was Colton Herter behind the wheel of that car, running to the west end hairpin a little bit too quickly and had to take the runoff area. Shea Adam is down in the pit lane, and she'll be stepping away in a wee while, getting ready for Idemitsu Mazda with me, which comes up in a little while. We'll be having that for you as well, the qualifying session. Austin McCusker is her latest interviewee.
With 47 Motorsport, and Austin, you've done this race now once before. You know how the rhythm goes, but I'm not seeing a lot of LMP3 cars out on track right now. Why y'all hanging out in the pit lane?
We're just saving the car. We got all new parts on it all last week, so we, the rain makes everything deteriorate a little bit quicker. So we're just practicing driver changes and practicing tire changes and everything. So we're set with that. But other than that, we're just saving the car a little bit.
It's useful to practice those things actually on the pit wall as opposed to back in the garage, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a completely different atmosphere with, you know, cars coming in and out and just, you know, hopping off the wall and stuff. So it's good to get the practice in the pit lane.
Driving with Mark Wame and Trenton Estep, they're both known entities for you as far as co-drivers goes. But Anton Duquin, how's he been fitting in with the team?
He's fitting in quite well. I mean, he's French and this is his first race in America, so he's fitting in quite well. He's doing good, and I think it's a whole good lineup that we have to be there at the end for the Rolex 24.
As an IPC champion, did you watch that 4-hour race the other day and learn anything from it?
Yeah, I mean it was a crazy finish. I mean, you just kind of got to stay clean and you know, be there at the end. That's basically what I learned from it, and you know, biggest thing is keeping it clean, in my opinion.
Good luck this weekend.
Thank you.
And Antoine Duquin is 17 years of age, so he's a pretty talented youngster, as Austin McCusker was referring to there. Those two have raced against each other in the in Europe last season. Antoine Duquin had three pole positions, I think. He drives for Cool Racing in the LMP3 cars in Europe, and that 47 Motorsports team, Garrett Kletchian is the team principal there, but he's kind of entered a technical association and administrative association now with Cool Racing. A lot of their engineers are over here working with Garrett's crew, and Garrett's goal is to become the least important person on that team. He reckons he's accomplished that now, and as Austin McCusker was referring to there, they've got a pretty stout lineup for this race. They're pretty confident with Austin McCusker, Antoine Duquin, and Trenton Estep, who's a very talented youngster as well,
And then Mark Kouame is the mandatory bronze driver, and Mark himself has a lot of experience in all sorts of different types of cars, and is pretty quick in his own right. So that's going to be a very stout team in this race. I think it's not one of the most perhaps fancied teams coming to this race, but for dark horses, watch out for that car number 7.
Problem is, Jeremy, we were talking about this with a number of fans at one Daytona at the Rolex Daytona 24-hour preview last night. There's about 60-65% of every class that you could see is there or thereabouts. You know, this is a strong field this year, and I'm not just talking about for a shot at the podium either. I mean, there are winners deep in the entry list in every category.
John, if I look down that entry list, there really aren't many cars. I'm not sure there are any cars, actually, that I would say, well, they have no hope of getting on the podium.
Yeah,
and I really agree. I don't think you've ever been able to say that before in this sort of a field. You know, with 61 cars, and you know, there's no mate weights out there nowadays at all.
And with the levels of reliability we see, particularly from the GT3 cars, and by the way, we haven't mentioned this yet in our race coverage, we are not worthy. If I was 20 years younger, I would be down on my knees giving the shine to IMSA next door. President John Doonan has just been in there. We gave him a wave, socially distanced through the glass, obviously. GTD Pro, a lot of people said, why would you do, why would 13 cars for the first outing of GTD Pro? Yes, it's a big race, we know that, but once again, IMSA reading the temperature of the room, Jeremy, and the manufacturers wanted it, they've listened, they've got it, and in fair play the manufacturers too, they've turned up, and they've turned up in force and supported it with cars and with outstanding driver lineups.
Yeah, that's right, and yeah, we're not going to have 13 cars all the way through the season, but you know, for most of the endurance races we're going to have a pretty good number, and I think it's great. I mean, you know, it gives the non-pro teams and drivers an opportunity to highlight their skills and see how fast they are. I mean, right now, the top 5 cars in GTD, fastest overall is a non-pro car. 4th and 5th are non-pro cars as well. And then after that, they're pretty much equally spaced all the way down the order. It's brilliant.
And the point that Jeremy's making there, we have to underline, if you're not sure, these cars are identical.
Yes.
There's no difference in specification. They're both running. They're all running the two classes. They're both running the customer Michelin tyre. There's no difference in balance of performance, in fuel tank sizes. Basically, the cars in performance levels on the track are absolutely equal. So, as in many other GT3 events, GT Daytona events around the world, there's no reason, Jeremy, why a good driver in a GTD car shouldn't be top of the shop and ahead of the GTD Pros. I suspect the GTD Pros will want to put that right again, mind you.
Yeah, and particularly as the fact that in the GTD regular, the non-pro drivers, most of them, they're going to get all their driving stints done in the early stage of the race.
Oh, that's a good point.
And so, you know, the latter part of the race, the important part of the race, it's going to be their pro-am teams and their pro drivers. And all of those guys, they want to prove a point. I want to be a factory driver. I want to be paid by the big boys. And so they've got a point to prove, and there's absolutely no reason at all why a non-pro car could win that race. It's going to be fascinating. And you know, I give everybody credit for saying, hey, yeah, good idea. Let's go for it. Love it. No change at the front in terms of the order. John Hindhoff mentioned a few minutes ago, Bamba went to the top. He improved his time at 149.267. That's the only sub-150 lap in this session. Bear in mind the lap record here, the race lap record, is a 134.5. So we're a full 15 seconds away from the lap record times in the conditions right now. It's still just sort of a light drizzle out there. I don't think it's really raining at the moment per se, but the track certainly remains wet. I think visibility looking around outside of the racetrack might be a little bit better than it was at the start of this session an hour or so ago.
25 minutes to go Hagerty Global Broadcast Centre, fired up and overlooking the awe of Daytona. We're right there with the beautiful green grass that's been mourned to say the Great American Race. Looks absolutely stunning, Jeremy. Really good.
Yeah, brilliant. Just great to be back here. And super excited for what's to come. This the whole of this week. We're privileged to be here and to have this vantage point on this race. And yeah, we're going to love and savour every moment.
I honestly say this without fear of favour. It's not just because we're here. It was absolutely one of the highlights of what I've done in endurance racing broadcasting, that we were the first people to do a live show from the new, as it was then, they were calling it Daytona Rising. And when you think of the history of this place, when you look at the construction that went on, this is a motorsports arena, a motorsports stadium, par excellence now. It's not everybody's taste, I know, but the road track has far more nuances that I think that than people realise. And for us to be here and to do that first broadcast, when it was first, you know, kind of cut the tape and do the first broadcast, and it was an international broadcast at the Rolex 24 Hours, just when the Rolex is coming right back to exactly how it used to be and have that international relevance, I honestly feel really proud. I'm getting a bit full thinking about it, actually. It's a big tick in the box for me, that one.
Yeah, absolutely right. And it is an iconic racetrack here and event. Yeah, the 60th running this season. Oh. It's remarkable that it's been going that long. My first trip to this
50th.
Race.
It can't be 10 years since the 50th, really. I know.
Well, I can't remember. The first one I came to was 40 years ago, for goodness sake.
Oh, my goodness.
It was 1980. I did watch most of that race from the tower on the outside of the track, but tell you what, it was nothing like this edifice we have right now. But look, all of the drivers are coming here for the first time, or they've been here for ages. One of the Mueller cars, car number 26, has found the barriers there. Is that turn six?
It's turn two.
But all of the drivers, they love this racetrack. I mean, it's not the most challenging racetrack in the world, but it is a challenge.
You get some good racing here.
Yeah.
Just a little bit of too much of the white line on the transition coming off the
Tri-Oval. Hugo de Wilde there, the young Belgian at the wheel of car number 26. He was fastest in LMP3. Completed 22 laps in this session. His best lap time, a 159.514.
That car showing the number one on the side.
Saying, fastest in the class.
So that's the reason for
quite
the
a margin,
one.
Actually.
And just done a little bit of damage on that right-hand side to the number panel and just behind it. We'll keep an eye on that whilst Joe Bradley is down in the pit lane. Hello again, Joe. Who have you got for us? Hello, Joe.
Hello, guys. I'm at the 31 Wheel and Engineering Cadillac bit, and I've got Tristan Nunes. Tristan, very wet conditions this practice session. What are the massive differences here at Daytona when the weather is like this?
It can get pretty torrential out there. I mean, those painted lines are still super slippery, even at speed. You go up on the banking out of turn six, touch one of those lines, and you're out for a ride. Even coming into the pit lane, you know, under pit speed, I got a little loose there. So you just definitely have to keep heads up about the painted lines, and really the dry line super slick. So it was good to get a feel even on an outlap. Weather can change pretty drastically here in Florida, so you never know if we'll have rain during the race.
This race I've always found to be kind of like a high-speed game of chess for like 23 hours. Is it all about just staying out of trouble and staying with the program, so to speak?
You couldn't have said it any better. Just staying out of trouble for most of the race, especially with this much traffic out there. I mean, it's just about keeping your nose clean, staying on the lead lap, and getting to the end and going to fight then. But it's going to be tough. It feels like a brand new race for me. I mean, I've done this race 9 times, but it feels like this is the first time. Such a different experience.
And especially considering the weather forecast, I mean, I think it's very rare we see below freezing conditions here on the Florida Peninsula. What's your thoughts going into the weekend regarding that?
I'm just keeping my fingers crossed it stays dry, because this track is not fun in the rain, but regardless of the conditions, our Will and Cadillac will be strong. So it's been great to get to know Pippo and Mike. I feel like we're ready to take on the challenge.
Great stuff.
Thank you.
Smashing lad. Absolutely smashing lad. Really deserves that opportunity. Jeremy Tristan Nunes, been around the sport for a while. Been around these paddocks for a while as well. Good to see him with that drive.
Yeah, certainly is. He's 26 years of age now. It's hard to imagine. He's really grown up, hasn't he? Great kid, though, from Boca Raton in Florida. He's a gold-rated driver these days. Of course, you know, he drove with the Mazda prototype team for several years, so a huge amount of experience. As he said, 9 previous starts in his race. He's finished second, and he's looking to go one step higher over the weekend. He showed that number 31 car. There's only 3 drivers in the car. The vast majority of cars in this race have 4 drivers, but it's just Pippo Durrani and Tristan Nunes, who are the regular season drivers in the Whelan Engineering Racing Cadillac, joined by Mike Conway for this race. Mike Conway, like Tristan, has a best finish here of second. Pippo Durrani won victory here in his 6 previous starts.
Let's jump straight back down to Joe Bradley, who's at the Acura number 10 Konica Minolta pit. Wayne Taylor, of course, running that operation, going for 4 in a row this weekend, Joseph.
Yeah, I'm just kind of balanced on the pit perch at Konica Minolta. Wayne, you've obviously got a win in your sights as ever.
Well, yes. Obviously, that's the reason why we come here, is to win, and the focus is to win. The conditions are going to be really weird this year. The temperatures, the cold. To get the cars through the night is going to be a trick for everybody, because potentially we could go into a freeze, and to make tire pressure is going to be the trick of the night. And as you know, I've always said, you know, you stay on the lead lap until the last 2 hours. That's when the race really starts. But where we are today is we're just trying to monitor everything and look at all the potential outcomes of whatever strategy that we're going to use. Even though Ricky got the pole by winning the race, we're going to start with Philippe. He's going to start the race, and then Ricky will finish. And Will I can't even name my fourth driver, Alex Rossi, obviously, Indy 500. He's done a good job all weekend. So I know from a driver lineup, we have as good as the best in the paddock, and I wouldn't change my engineering group and or my team for anybody.
And congratulations on the Grand Marshal accolade.
Yeah, thank you. I don't know exactly what we're going to do. I have no idea, but I'll be visiting tomorrow night, and then I think they've got a lot of things for us. It's always humbling to be in the same place as a Mario Andretti and a Jackie Hicks, you know. Unfortunately, Jackie Hicks couldn't make it to this one, so they've nominated Jack Roush. But I've got to wait and see what this really means.
I think it probably means you get a really lovely table at the Rolex dinner.
Oh, yeah, I didn't think about that. Although I got to tell you this, Jim France came and he came to congratulate me, and he said, probably you don't know that part of your deal, Wayne, is that you have to stay in the tower with me. You can't go to your tower in the racetrack. And I go, yeah, right. Let's see how you're going to keep me there.
Yeah, that's going to work.
Yeah, no, very, very, very happy, very excited about this. As we always are, it's my event. It's my home event. It's everything.
I've just been told in my ear, we believe you get a nice new Rolex watch as well for the collection.
I do?
That's what Hindhoff's telling me.
Oh, my.
Well, if you don't, you can come back to Hindhoff. He'll give you one of his.
Yeah, exactly. Tell him I'm coming. That's amazing. I didn't know that.
Is that what you're saying, John? He gets a Grand Marshal, get a watch. Or are you just saying that?
I was speaking to somebody.
I didn't hear the question there, sorry.
No, I was talking to John. I've got him to confirm. This watch has become an issue, hasn't it?
It has.
Definitely. Now it's definitely an issue. Because I'm going to be pissed off if there's no watch.
You've started something here, Hindhoff. I'm going to climb. I'm going to fall down off your perch now, Wayne. No doubt I'll get to speak to you during the race. I've got a lot to talk about with these freezing conditions. I'm really intrigued as to how that's going to work. Thanks, Wayne.
Yeah, I've started something there. Brilliant stuff from Wayne Taylor and Joe Bradley there. I was talking to somebody earlier in the week. Six Grand Marshals, as Jeremy mentioned. Jackie Ickx, by the way. Oh, big slide for the number 44, Magnus. Aston Martin, that's going to take some getting used to. Who's at the wheel of that one at the moment? That's Johnny Adam. Well, very experienced Aston Martin works driver. Six Grand Marshals. Jackie Ickx is going to be a double Grand Marshal at Sebring for both the main event, the Mobil 112 Hours of Sebring, and the starter, the aperitif, if you will, the 10 hours on Friday night for the first round of the 2022 WEC. They were fairly adamant to me that Wayne would be getting a watch along with the rest of them. Hurley Hayward's amongst that August sextet, and he's got a few Rolexes that he won here down through the years. There'll be one more for him as well. I'll try and get that confirmed, but that was certainly what was conveyed to me. And Mr. Taylor, I'm very sorry. You can have my Casio that I'm wearing at the moment. I might be able to sort them out something a bit better than that, because I've got a good friend of mine here this weekend who is a watch brand, in fact. So we'll see what we can do if that's not the case. At IMSA Radio, if you want to get in touch with us, if somebody can dig me out of that hole, please, that would be really, really good indeed. Last 15 minutes under that now, Jeremy. This one's flown over.
Yeah, it has, hasn't it? And I think the track is a little bit less wet than it was earlier on. Still no change at the top. It's Earl Bamber who leads away in colour 0-2 for the Cadillac Racing of Chip Ganassi. 0-2, 149.267, a second and a half clear of Philip Albuquerque in the Konica Minolta Wayne Taylor Racing Acura car number 10. We just had Nico Müller go third fastest overall, best in LMP2 in car number 20 for High Class Racing, another WEC regular or ex-WEC regular that this year we're going to be seeing on a regular basis in the IMSA-WeatherTech Sports Car Championship. So two more Danes there, Dennis Anderson and Anders Fjordback, the regulars amongst that team, joined this weekend by Fabio Schirra and Nico Müller, who's a long-time Audi driver. No doubt it's no coincidence, of course, that Audi is moving back into prototype cars again next year. So Müller goes third first overall. It's time 150.789. That's only 0.008 of a second slower than the second quickest time in this session by the DPI of Philip Albuquerque. Changes also in GTD Pro. It's still the same order, 75 Mercedes for GTD. Then the Pro cars of 97 and... The number two car was second in GTD Pro. That was the KCMG Porsche. But ahead of it now is the FAF Porsche car number nine. Third fastest overall in GTD Pro. Second in the Pro category. Matthew Jaminet, a 158.840.
Joe Bradley deciding to go the team owner route. To get some interviews down there with many of the drivers sheltering away if they're not in the cars. He's got down towards MSR. In fact, no, he's at MSR. I can see him. And ready to talk to the man with at least his initials above the door. Mike Shank is with Joe Bradley.
Mike, someone just reminded me that it's 10 years since you won this race, and I couldn't believe that. I would have put money on it being five.
Yeah, it's been 10 years. It's great to be back here at the 60th anniversary. We're going to do everything we can to get a 60th, a 50th, and a 60th win, obviously. Just getting the guys a rotation here now, just a few laps in these conditions, and we'll see what the later day brings us, whether we come out or not.
I'm just looking at your driver lineup there. You're certainly going about it in the right way.
Well, I mean, I got people I think can do a great job for us. They're all four very, very good, all about the same speed. Saturday and Sunday will be, consistently be able to attack and keep the pace. And we have that with the drivers, and we're looking forward to get going.
Tell me about the strategic gamble last week. Did it? You pitted early. What's your thoughts on that? It didn't quite work, did it?
A couple of us tried for an undercut and it didn't work. You know, we would have thought with 61 cars we'd had some yellows out here, but we didn't. Yeah. We didn't. So, all credit to everybody. And we learned a lot for the race this week. And all seven cars in this class can win the race, literally any one of them. So it'll be interesting.
I agree, Mike. I mean, if you do what everyone else is doing, you're not going to make a difference, are you? So it was worth the point. And you learned from it. The thing I've taken from the qualifying race is qualifying's done and dusted by the time we get to race week. You guys can then focus completely and utterly on the race.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't catch everything you said there, but I can tell you that we learned enough out of the qualifying race to consider strategies. But you don't have to get too crazy for 20 hours. You just got to last four. You got to think about how you're going to end up.
Yeah. Thanks, Mike. Best of luck.
Yeah, it's a very good point that Joe's making. If you do the same as everybody else, particularly in such a close field of DPIs, you're probably going to stay exactly where you are, all the things being equal, as Paul Trussman will all remind me, which is seldom the case in motor racing, of course. Sometimes you've just got to roll the dice, and that was the perfect opportunity last weekend, Jeremy, just to see what they could do. It maybe cost them a couple of positions on the grid, but ultimately that's not the worst thing here. If they've learned something for this race in the last 4 hours, as Mike was saying there, that could be the difference between off the podium, on the podium, on the podium, and on the top step of the podium.
Yeah, I mean, they know exactly now how far they can go on that final stint of fuel and how much they have to save fuel. I mean, they were saving. Yeah, they came in a good bit before everybody else. They came in their first stop was one lap after the number 31 Whelan Engineering Racing Cadillac. Their second stop was two laps after the number 31 car. At the end of the race, number 31 car had to come in for a splash of fuel. 60 made it to the end, but it certainly wasn't running on full pace. They were having to save a lot of fuel just to get to the finish line of this race. But they did so in the fourth position, so starting on the second row. Yeah, there's only seven cars in DPI, but look, it's so competitive there, it's not easy to make a pass. So, you know, you want to start up, you know, as far forward as you can. Fourth position, that's just fine. That was a good day on the weekend for that Meyer-Shank with Kerr-Bagger-Janin team, and they're now, as Michael Shank was saying, properly prepared for this race. They're ready to go.
Hi to Jatinder Dhaliwal. Nice to have a little chat with you text-wise earlier on, Jet. Hope the family are all right. Happy New Year to you and the rest. Congratulations on your choices. I heartily approve. It's been having a little look at a new car configurator. Got to be careful with those things. You can lose yourself down the internet rabbit hole. Somebody sent me a link the other day to a private jet configurator. I was thinking, clearly they don't understand how much the responsible adult pays, because isn't the budget for that in the hind-off coffers? Although it would have been useful, in fairness. 6.5 minutes to go. The Cetelar Ferrari, the number 47 light blue car, back out on the circuit after that little spin. I'm just looking at the right rear of that car and the end plate. I think they've put maybe not. Maybe they've just straightened it out, because there's just a little bit of the green on that that's rubbed off after that little nudge on the wall earlier on. It was Roberto Laccorte at the wheel of that when it went around, from memory.
Yeah,
super looking car. Obviously Ferraris are quite often Ferrari red, but blue is a traditional colour, particularly out here, of course, with the lovely controlled slide through the bus stop this time around for Giorgio Sernagiotto. And that Tricolore over the front of the car. Smashing looking machine. 5.5 minutes left, actually. The racetrack has got fairly quiet. So opportunity for one or two drivers, maybe, just to give the cars a little bit of a run. No qualifying setup to worry about here, but nice if you've got a driver maybe who hasn't got the laps around here. Stick them out for the last 5 or 6 minutes when other teams, Jeremy, are calling it a day.
Yeah, just to get a feel for the condition in case we do have rain. So, as we've heard several people say, rain is not forecast for the weekend. It should be dry, but you never know. Conditions this afternoon are possibly going to be drier as well. Perhaps some more rain this evening. So, you know, we'll see. But you want to get some lap times, I think, in there as well. We've had most of the cars out on track in this session, but not all. We've had only 47 cars with set representative lap times. A few others have been out just for kind of exploration laps. And there's only maybe a dozen or so cars still out there at the moment with, what, just less than 5 minutes to go.
Now, news. Did we talk about that new second place time for Paddle Award?
We did not. That's just happened.
That has happened last time around. Best in class for LMP2, Jeremy. And Patricio Award, to give him his full name, has put the number 81, Origa. Sorry, mate. Headphone cord's not playing along with me today. I'm going to have to untangle that in a minute. It's annoying me. 150.462. So a couple of tenths away from that splendid time from Earl Bamber. He put a couple of quick laps in back-to-back when he got in the 0-2 Cadillac. That's a good time for Patricio Award. Joe was getting excited about maybe the P2 cars being able to take it to the DPIs. Maybe over one lap. I'm not sure over a stint or longer. But this is interesting to me to see just how close they are. In the top five, we have three DPIs and two LMP2s.
Yeah, I mean, DPIs really, you know, I don't think any of the DPI cars have really gone out and pushed in this session. The most laps completed by any of them, I think, is 16 by the number 60 car. That maybe has just come onto the pit lane, or has it gone behind the wall? Where is it? It's shown as in the pits, so it's not out there. And I don't think we've got any of the DPIs out on the track at the moment, so they've all called it a day, I think, at this stage. So there's not much traffic out there, and the track is a little bit drier than it was earlier on, so better conditions, I think, right now. As Patricio goes fastest overall in that number 81 car for Dragon Speed USA. That will please Elton Julian and everybody involved in that team. And the other drivers, of course, as well in that number 81 Ooh. Car. Whoops, and there he goes for a spin.
So that's the second time we've seen that car facing the wrong direction. It must be getting drier, Jeremy, because I could hear your tyre squeal there.
Yeah.
Patricio Award just coming out of the International Horseshoe. That car, interestingly, out of all of them, that's the one that I've noticed is getting dirtiest around the number panels. It's almost impossible to read the 81 already after that short session. Just maybe a car's width wider than he wanted to be, and then just trying to pinch the car back across to the right-hand side, maybe a bit early. Just feeling for the grip there, and didn't quite get the flick turn to perfection. He'd be just as annoyed with that about dropping the car, I think.
Yeah, I think he'd be more annoyed with that. Yeah, going for style there is Pato. Great
what
kid. Just got a bit too over-enthusiastic there. I think, he's on a portion of the racetrack where, you can really push the limits without, I think, risking going off the road there. For him, so I don't think he'd be too daunted.
If you get too far across to the left, particularly on the western end of the racetrack on the horseshoe there, the camber does either level out or just start to fall away. I wonder if he just got across the transition. Well, whilst the time is ticking down, here's a man who knows a bit about watches as well. Had his own watch brand for quite a while. Stefan Johansson, Steve Johnson, is with Joe Bradley.
How are we doing, Stefan? Great to see you. Motorsport legend here wandering about. Are you looking for a drive?
No. Thankfully, I've got that out of my head.
I'm told you're a very worthy bronze, though. That's, you've got to be valuable to some of these teams.
Yeah. No, I'm just here, with some of the guys that I look over to, with Scott and Rasmus, who's also racing here with the Andretti LMP3 car, and just kind of keeping an eye on things. First race of the year.
I've just bumped into you, so I've done no research. So did you ever win this race?
No. It's the one that I've missed, unfortunately. Right. Yeah.
How's life treating you? I see your art collection's coming on. Your art gallery and your artwork is taking over your life, I think.
Well, it is a little bit, yeah.
That's great.
I'm still heavily involved in racing, of course, but the art is definitely something I'm passionate about. equally to racing. And, you know, little by little, it's a process just like it is in motor racing, you know, trying to get to where you want to be. But it's going good, you know, and most importantly, I love it.
Yeah, I love seeing you here, yeah, Stefan. Thanks for chatting to us. Stephanie Hansen there. A motorsport legend there, Mr. Hindhoff.
Yes, he certainly is. I'll never forget him driving the open-top Audi R8 in Gulf colours. Sebring in particular, he was throwing that car around. Gary Dodds took a picture of him that was absolutely superb. I've still got it at home. Problem for a couple of cars. The Inception number 71, as the checkered flag is out. 71 McLaren has gone off, I think, of its own volition at turn 5, the Western Horseshoe. And the Milner Motorsport, one of the Milner Motorsport LMP3s. Jeremy, you reckon it is the Duquesne number, is that it, 26? 26, my eyes aren't as bad as I thought. And that's Cameron Shields behind the wheel of that one. And that just looks like it doesn't have any motive power at the moment. Jeremy, quick run down of the times, and then I think we'll wrap up on IMSA Radio.
Yeah, so fastest time in this session was set by the LMP2 Dragon Speed USA Orica Patricio Award, 149.251. Second fastest, the best of the DPI contenders, 149.267 for car number 02. That's the Cadillac Racing with Chip Ganassi, Cadillac DPI, Earl Bamba from New Zealand. Third fastest, also in DPI, the Meyer Shank Racing with Kerbagger Janine Acura, car number 10, Philip Albuquerque, a 150.781. The gap between Award and Bamba, by the way, was 0.016 of a second. Albuquerque a second and a half behind that, fractionally ahead of Nico Müller, who's from Switzerland, the second fastest in the LMP2 category, car number 20, is for High Class Racing. Ran out top five. The third of the DPI cars, Oliver Jarvis in car number 60 for Meyer Shank Racing. Excuse me, number 10, of course. Albuquerque is Konica Minolta Cadillac Acura Racing. In the GT categories, GTD Pro, finally, right at the end there, Matthew Jaminet went fastest of all. I think on the checkered flag lap, actually, in car number 9 for Pfaff Motorsports, last year's GTD champion. Matthew Jaminet will be a full-time driver in that number 9 car this season. So he's fastest overall in GTD. Second fastest is the best of the non-pro cars. Number 75, Lucas Stoltz for Sun Energy One. The third, fourth and fifth GTD cars are all pro entries. Car number 15 is the third fastest car. That's Dirk Müller. Next up, number 97 of Jan-Junker Dahler. Followed by number 2 KCMG Porsche of Lawrence Vanthoor, and 6 fastest in GTD, second in GTD regular, the McLaren car number 70 with Brendan Ariba has been the latest driver. I think it set that time early on. Jordan Pepper from South Africa who set that time in number 70.
Thank you, Jeremy, and also to three of our pit lane reporters. You've heard from them all in this session. Share Adam, our normal and regular season, our full season IMSA Radio reporter, ably backed up by endurance specialists Andrew Marriott and John Bradley, just like the driving, of course. We'll add Johnny Palmer and Bruce Jones to the mix, and you've yet to hear from Peter Mackay as well as we go through the week. Don't go too far away on imsaradio.com. We will be back with some Mazda, the Idemitsu Mazda MX-5 qualifying. Shea Adam joining me in the Haggerty Global Broadcast Centre for that. Thanks to Tim Gray over in London for the whole team. For the moment, if you're here at Daytona, stay warm and dry if you can. If you're anywhere else, don't go too far away. The schedule's at the bottom of imsaradio.com.
This programme is a Radio Show Limited production. For more, check imsaradio.com and subscribe to IMSA Radio wherever you get your podcasts.